Take your Bibles, if you will, turn to the book of Matthew chapter 24, as we are once again talking about Noah. This is Noah part 3. Let's stand together, the book of Matthew, if you would, please. Matthew chapter 24, and we'll begin reading at verse 32. Matthew 24, verse 32. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word of God. And Lord, we know that just because some would say that it's a book of fairy tales, or it's of fables, or it's of ancient history, and it is of no use today, we know that that is not true. For your word is forever true. And Lord, we know that you care what we have to say about it. Bless, we pray, this day, this service, these people. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Continuing in Matthew 24, verse 37. But as the days of Noah, or Noe, as you have there in your Bible, were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. In verse 42, we're told to watch. We need to be on guard. In many ways, what has happened in our society today is that people have stopped watching, and the enemy has brought in contemptible things. In verse 44, it tells us to be ready. We need to be ready when the wrong things come. And in many ways, we are fighting from behind, because we have allowed certain things to creep into our society. And now we realize we've got to do something before this becomes totally out of control. Verse 45 says to be faithful and wise. We're to be faithful to our Lord, and we need to be wise in how we react to things that are happening. Verse 46 says to be doing. Doing. I believe it's important that we do things for the cause of Christ. We need to be praying for our country. We need to be praying for our government. We need to be praying in such a way that God's will would be done. Because verse 38 tells us, for as in the days that were before the flood, they were living as if tomorrow was a sure thing. And may I say this, there is no sure thing today in our society. May I say this, and I don't fear saying this, Our country's economy is on shaky legs. You say, well, the government will keep us from falling. It has fallen in the past. Some of you lived through the Great Depression. Some of you have read about the Great Depression. You say, well, that won't happen. It could happen sooner than you think. As it was in the days of Noah. If you would, the book of Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. But you knew that, right? Because we're talking about Noah. We'll read verses 1 and 2. Verse 1. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth. Do you know that's the only commandment that God has given that man has fully taken care of? Adam and Eve were told to go and to populate the land. And this is the only one we've continued to do. And it says, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. The sons of God, I believe the sons of God are the godly line of Seth. I know there are some that would teach us that the sons of God are actually fallen angels and that these fallen angels had relationships with humans and that they bore children, as it says in verse 4, that were giants. No, I don't believe that. I believe that within the human body, there is the availability to have very small men, those who are maybe jockeys and those who are small in stature. And I believe there are able to be those like Goliath, who was 9 foot 9 inches tall. And I believe that it is within the human network and the DNA that we all carry that there can be these different sizes and whatnot. But we find that the sons of God, I believe, were of the line of Seth. And the daughters of men were of the worldly line of Cain. And we find that, I believe, that the men and the females of that day are much like the males and females of this day. The eyes take control. I believe the females of that day saw the good in the godly males and they said, I want that. They were tired maybe of the ungodly ways of many of the men that they lived with. And they said, we want good men. And they went after that. They wanted it. And I think that the males, those godly males, saw in the female something that they desired. Now, someone may use the word seduced, and maybe those men were seduced by those women of that era. But we find that the godly men of the godly line of Seth and that the daughters of men, the worldly line of Cain, came together, and it created many, many problems. The Bible tells us, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean. 2 Corinthians 6:14-17. Genesis 6, verse 3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his day shall be 120 years. My spirit will not always strive or struggle with man. Yet I'll give him 120 more years. That's a long time to get your act right, isn't it? 120 years, Noah preached. He was a preacher of righteousness, and he preached repentance. Some would have said this is grace and grace alone. May I say this, our Lord wants all to be saved, but unfortunately all will not be saved. Verse 5, And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. God saw the wickedness of man. If he saw it then, do you think he sees the wickedness of man today? Absolutely. Teddy James writes, globally, there are 20 to 30 million humans in captivity today. It is estimated that 80% of those are female. Half of that 80% are under 18. Trafficking is the third largest criminal enterprise on the planet, behind only illegal drugs and arms trading. It is a multi-billion dollar enterprise taking place in almost every country, including America. Wickedness. Can you imagine making your living off the pain and misery of another human being? And yet we find that trafficking goes on. Every imagination was only evil continually. There was a continual desire for money, no matter what the cost. It's like today, more and more and more, and boy, I want more. The continual desire to be entertained, no matter the cost to those doing the entertaining. The continual desire for sexual pleasures, sex outside of marriage, unrestrained sex, perverted sex, abusive sex, depraved sex. We find that our society is sex crazed, and we find that there are many things that are going on in today's society that are anti-God. 2 Timothy 3:1 and 3a say this, and know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, without natural affection. Romans 1:26-28. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. How many of you have heard someone say, well, Jesus didn't say anything against homosexuality? You probably have all heard someone say that. Let us begin with this thought. Jesus ministered to the Jews. And we are going to read a couple of things that the Jews knew very well. Leviticus 18:20-22. Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife, to defile her with to defile thyself with her. In other words, sex outside of the marriage between a man and a woman is what? Wrong. Sex outside of marriage between a husband and a wife is wrong. You're not to lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife. And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech. Neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Jesus didn't have to say anything other than the fact that this was written in the Old Testament law. Leviticus 20:13. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. So did Jesus say something about homosexuality? Absolutely, because Jesus is what? God. And God said, you are not to do this. But he also said, we are not to have immoral relationships, a man with a woman. And so they're both wrong. Not only was the world's population wicked, verse 5, and evil, verse 6, it was corrupt, verse 11, and filled with violence, verses 11 and 13. So let's read verses 11 through 13. The earth also was corrupted because before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. We've been taking some thoughts from Jeff Kinley's book, As It Was in the Days of Noah, and he writes, the people of earth, having long since jettisoned the Creator from their consciousness, became violent in their dealings with one another. There is no discernible law of order, a rule of law or order of government. And into this void of leadership and civil structure pours an angry spirit of chaotic violence. All over the world, man solves his problems and disputes by forceful aggression, hostility, fighting, brutality and cruelty. Bloodshed rules. Savageness is the standard. God says the world was filled with this kind of violence, meaning it extended to every part of it, every community, every tribe, anywhere there were people, there was violence and human terrorism. No home was safe, perhaps even from its own family members. It is not difficult to imagine widespread domestic violence in such a savage society. Verbal, emotional, and physical abuse would have abounded. Violent beatings, violent rape, violent murder. And it was not just the men. Women were not innocent parties in Noah's days, but were equally enslaved to evil in all its various female varieties. He continues, they were just as complacent in wickedness, wantonness, and disregard for decency. There was no shortage of she-devils walking about, unquote. It was a vile and evil place. Is our world today vile and evil? Is it full of violence? We know that it is. Proverbs 29:16, when the wicked are multiplied, the transgression increaseth. The motto of the antediluvian world was, what's mine is mine and what's yours is mine if I can get it. People killed for revenge, for sport, for pure pleasure. In some ways it sounds like a Mad Max movie. Again, Kinsley Wright, sounds hard to believe, doesn't it? Like some primitive sci-fi apocalypse. How could we have been this bad? How could human beings lose all traces of dignity and decency and act like this? Wouldn't a common sense survival instinct kick in at some point and bring relative order to such a world? Apparently it didn't. But why? The answer is found in part by understanding something about sin itself, unquote. The key ingredient to sin is rebellion. Rebellion against the one and only one who is holy and just. Our arch enemy, Lucifer himself, is the father of rebellion. Lucifer was able to get a third of the angels to follow him in this open rebellion against the Creator. And Eve and Adam were no match for Satan's deception. Take your Bibles and turn back a page to chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. We find that Cain and Abel were the first two sons born to Adam and Eve. And Cain would rebel against God and bring a sacrifice of his own doing. And when God rejected the sacrifice, Cain rose up against his brother who had done what God wanted. Even as it is today, doing the bidding of God, the world will hate you. They will reject you. They will call you names. They will try to shut your mouth with man-made laws. It has happened before. It will happen in the future. It is happening now. School in Missouri. High school band wanted to play How Great Thou Art. And a judge, and of course his great wisdom, said, you can't do that. So let's shut down what Christians have to say. May I say this, they can try, but it won't work. The cause of Christ continues. Cain's response to God's rejection of his sacrifice planted the seeds of murder. He became very angry and his countenance fell. If you would, the book of Genesis chapter 4 and verse 4. Genesis 4:4. Well, let's read verse 3 also. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Now that sounds good. And in humanistic thinking, they would say, well, God should have to accept this offering of vegetables and fruits. See, that's what man says. Well, what was wrong with it? What was wrong with it? God said, I wanted a lamb. Man says, well, I can do what I want to do. I can get to heaven any way I want to, and you have to accept it, God. And God says, no, I don't. I accept one way. One way. And Abel, verse 4 says, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. He had respect because he did what he was commanded to do. Verse 5, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Cain was angry with Abel because his sacrifice was accepted, but who was he really angry with? With God. And today's society is angry with God. Why can't I live this way? Why can't I do what I want to do? God says, I have a way. Follow it. Verse 6, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. Cain became jealous, furious, because he had been rejected. And it was right there that God shows his grace to Cain. God knows that sin always leads to sin. Bad decisions lead to bad decisions. And God gave Cain an out. Even though he was burning with anger, God told him, you have no reason to be angry. Just change your attitude. Change your heart. Change your heart. God warned him that if he did not change his attitude and do right, sin lieth at the door. And sin, like a roaring lion, lieth at the door, ready to pounce. You give sin an inch and it'll take a mile. It'll come in and take over. The Lord warned Cain not to open the door to sin. Warren Wiersbe writes, it's dangerous to carry grudges and harbor bitter feelings in our hearts, because all of this can be used by Satan to lead us into temptation. This is what is meant when Paul wrote in Ephesians 4:27, neither give place to the devil. The Lord said, if thou doest well, wilt thou not be received? Will you not be accepted? But if you're not, sin has its desire is to have you. We are to be in control and not let sin rule. We are to do right. History's first son is now at a critical fork in the road with a very important choice to make. He can let his anger and disappointment fester and spread within him, Or he can take charge of his emotions and master the sin that is waiting to devour him. And I say the same thing to you today. Be careful of that anger that's within you, that jealousy, that grudge that is growing. It will take control. We are to either seek the kingdom of God or the pleasures of this world. In today's world, in today's society, in many of today's churches, in all too many of our families, and in the majority of individuals, we see people running as hard and as fast as they can away from the Creator God. They are running as hard and as fast as they can away from Christianity. May I say this, they're not happy. They're angry. In conclusion, William Graham, grandson of Reverend Billy Graham, was asked, "How would you describe today's spiritual climate in our nation?" His response, we were in a post-Christian nation. I think we're now into an anti-Christian nation. Any dealing with God is now marked as being bad or wrong. Second question, how did this happen? Response, my great-grandfather, L. Nelson Bell, wrote a book called While Men Slept. He focused on the biblical parable of the wheat and tares, and while men slept, the enemies came into their fields and planted weeds. I put in here weeds of evolution, weeds of legalized abortion, weeds of open homosexuality, weeds of tolerance of sin, the weeds of multiple ways to heaven. But let's go back to what Bell wrote. We have allowed two things to come into the church. One is that we got spiritually lazy and fell asleep on our watch as a church. Second, we have allowed liberal theology to come in and plant seeds of doubt, and they have led us astray. Third question, how can the church correct its course? Answer, thankfully, there is still a remnant out there that God will use. Praise God for the remnant that God will use. The first thing we need to do is repent. And that comes by hearing and reading the Word of God. If we want to see people repent, we need pastors and evangelists who preach the Bible and let God's Word do the work. Noah called for repentance. Elijah called for repentance. Jonah called for repentance. Hosea called for repentance. John the Baptizer called for repentance. Jesus called for repentance. Peter and Paul called for repentance. Calvin, Luther, Knox, Wesley, Spurgeon, Moody, Norris called for repentance. Ted Madonna called for repentance. Last week, Brother Mark Rogers called for repentance. What do we need in America today? Repentance. We must begin in the church. Repentance. Are we passionate about the church and the cause of Christ? Are we passionate about it? Or are we thinking, Pastor Paul has gone 2 minutes past 12. When is he going to quit? We need to be passionate. We find that there are a lot of people that are evil today that they are very passionate. And they have accomplished a lot. Glamour magazine has decided to make Bruce Jenner the woman of the year. There are people who are passionate about that type of lifestyle, and they will cram it in your face. Just ask Dennis. The other day we were there at Burger King, and she had an awful beard. Folks, are we passionate about what's right? You know, most people today, they say, hey, I'll go to church, but as long as it doesn't cost me anything. Folks, it may cost us something very soon. Are we willing to make the stand? We have a lot of ground to make up. For some of us, it's beginning this Tuesday when we vote in Sterling Heights. Ground to be made up. But we can only do it if we're passionate. Let's stand together as Debbie comes back to the piano and we're going to sing the song of invitation, Just As I Am. Are we willing to give ourselves to the Lord? Are we willing to say there is a right way to live? And God has shown us that way. Are we willing to be used of the Lord? Dear Heavenly Father, as we have this time of invitation, we ask, Lord, that the Spirit would move. Give us strength, Lord, to do that which is right. If there is one today that doesn't know Thee as Savior, Lord, may they be willing this day to give their heart over to You. And Lord, if there is one that is struggling with issues in life, may they also, Lord, say, Lord, I need to do what's right. Give me strength. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.